Hello, welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. I am your host, Jessica Concepcion. Today's episode, we are continuing our conversation with the lovely Margina and Eric, joining us from the San Francisco Bay Area. Today's episode mainly focuses on ways to help children heal. Margina takes us into the behind the scenes of an amazing camp that she works with called Today's Youth Matters. I hope you enjoy and share this with a friend. If you have enjoyed these episodes, let other people know about what you're listening to and how organizations like Children Rising and Today's Youth Matters are making a difference in today's world. Because we know there's a lot of things going on. If you turn on the news, there's just so many things every single day. But this is the good news. This is the type of information that should cheer you up and bring hope into a dark world. And so I really hope you sit back, enjoy wherever you're listening, in your car, cleaning the house, going on a walk, wherever you are, if you're at the gym, enjoy and rate this podcast, leave a review, and also hop into our Instagram page, Gal Restore, G-A-L Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E. Love you and enjoy.
I'll just say there's more to life than what's at home or at work. And many would have never experienced like swimming or playing in a pool with friends or rock climbing. And even the spa night when we pamper the girls or have s'mores night around campfires. You know, this is tagging their thoughts and their memories of what's some of the possibilities are in life, that there's more to it. So if life is hard right now, it doesn't have to always be that way. And that they can make some choices in their life to make sure that it's not something that they are not happy with. They can make their lives a happy place just by preparing themselves. And it's more in the world for them to see and experience, and they have the tools to explore it all if we just show it to them. We also let kids know that bad things happen to good people too. And that if you've been violated, mistreated, some kids end up in traffic situations, ignored. It's because others have made bad decisions and it's not the child's fault. But we talked to them about some folks who try to make them feel guilty and dirty and unloved. And we proved to them that that is just not so. That's not true. And it's meant to make them feel bad. But we are meant to make them feel empowered. It's imperative that a child have a safe and fun place to express themselves, learn and have tons of fun. That's what our goal is.
I love that. And I know you mentioned tons of things you guys are doing, like the zip lining. Why is it so important for children who have experienced homelessness, the foster care system, or adoption to have these new experiences during camp? Like, such as the swimming. I remember one time when we spoke, you said that some of the children, they see the pool and they just want to jump in because they've never been in a pool.
That's right. They're just like, oh, pretty blue water, jump. You know, we're like, wait, you got to take some swimming lessons and go to the shallow end, you know, don't jump on this side. So, but at camp, there is a very structured program for swimming. It's just that that's their first thoughts. Like, I just want to jump in. I just want to feel a pool, you know. Everything is structured and monitored in a safe way. But that is something that is an eye-opener for us workers, but it's life-changing for those kids.
They're facing
fears, you know? And so when they have fears of people and situations, they can face this fear of ziplining, then they can feel more empowered to face other fears.
Yeah. Do you guys have repeat children who come back year after year?
Even after they've aged out, they still try to sneak in, and we
Yeah.
tend to let them come. But we usually have 8 to 12 year olds, so sometimes brother and sister has gone ahead of them, and the kid is like 6 or 7, and they just kind of ease into the enrollment process, and we get to camp. We're like, "How old are you for real?" We knew they were like 6 or 7, but they wanted to come so bad. And then we have repeaters that come when they age out at 12. They like say, "Oh, I'm just 12 and a half now," and but they're really 13 or 14. So in response to that, though, we have occasionally had snow trips and stuff for the older kids,
Oh,
that
wow.
they would come together and do other things outside of the elementary school age.
Oh my
Because
gosh.
they
Do
do
any of
need
them
to
become
be.
counselors?
Huh?
Do any of them become counselors?
Oh, some of them do come become counselors, actually. Some of them want to come back and be counselors. I know several kids who are now their junior leaders and counselors, yes.
That's
And they can
amazing.
pretty much tell the kids, "Hey, I was scared." Some kids are scared. They are scared of the dark. They've never been away from their families or their parents and their siblings, and they're just, kind of in shock that someone would send them to a camp and their guardians are not around. But there's some kids who say, "Oh, come on, you're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna do this and that and this and that," and so they kind of break our kids in for us, and get them ready for the week, the ones who have
Aw,
been there.
that's so good. And I know you had mentioned just some of the curriculum that you guys talk about with the students about I am a queen or I am a king. Just valuing, teaching them how to value like who they are and who they're created to be. Could you just talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Sure. So we're on like volume number 7, I think, this year, and it's called Queenology and Kingology. So an ology is the study of, so you're studying how to be your queen, the queen that you were meant to be, and the king that you were meant to be. So the men usually take the boys, and they have these really serious talks about them. They go on a rough hike, and they put bandanas on, and they put markers under their eyes, and they go out at night with just a few flashlights, and they have to trust each other,
Wow.
going through this obstacle course of weeds and brushes and all that. And then they turn around and say, "This is why you have to comb your hair. This is why you have to take a bath every day. This is why you have to, wash your hair. This is what happens when you don't brush your teeth." I mean, all of the stuff that a child needs to know to be successful. And then in the girls' queenology, we teach them about, what happens to their bodies when it changes and they have their menstrual cycle. And then we have it all spread out on a table. They get to touch it, feel it, open it. They laugh, they giggle. They're like, "Where does this go?" And so, but we teach them about hair care and how there's just no excuse these days for your hair to just be all over the place, because we can do anything with our hair. So we have a hair station, and a lady is doing different things to the hair and braiding or putting color in it, or showing if you don't have this, you can use water. If you don't have that, you can use this, So teaching them, tricks of the trade to make them feel good, about themselves. Some kids come when their hair's not done, and so but they go home with some tools, and we
Wow.
usually have little bags for them to take home with goodies in it. Things that we assume they have, a lot of them don't. And or, it's just not important. Like some told me, "Hey, I have had my toothbrush ever since I was in kindergarten." I'm like, "No, here's three more, and I want you to change them every 3 months or 6 months." And then we don't just give them a toothbrush, well, we teach them how to brush their teeth, So it's things like that. But the queenology really is dear to my heart because I teach it, but it's like God said you're a queen. So why would you let somebody call you something else or treat you like you're something else?
That's so
You
good.
are a queen. You're a queen in the making because he said he already knew you before you even born. And then I tell him this example, like how your parents were probably saying, "Oh, we're gonna name her this or name her that, and we're gonna name her." And God is just sitting up there saying, "They'll get to the right name in just a minute." Because I already know what her name is going to be, right? Or I already know what his name is going to be. And he's going to be this and he's going to become that. He already knows that. We're the ones have to learn what God's pathway is for us. So you are a queen. You're a queen in the making. So if you want to call yourself a princess, that's fine. But you're a queen because that's who you are.
I love
And
that.
so, and then we talk about kings and how kings respect their queens. And how
Wow.
you would never put your hand on somebody that you love, or you would never, you grow up to get one of those kinds of jobs that take care of your queen, take care of your kingdom, So all of this is just to empower them and give them ideas of what they could be. So it's kingology, queenology. They do it every morning for an hour, and then they go have a bunch of fun. Then we come back. We have Bible study at night, then we have like some kind of activity after that. So they're really tired. They usually get worn out about 11 p.m. and then they have to get up about 6,
Oh
7 in the
wow,
morning.
okay. Yeah.
It
So that week is really full.
is full.
And I'm sure it sustains them. All those memories will sustain them for the next school year.
Yeah, they look forward to that. And when is camp? When is camp? So, but TYM has through the year they also have like mentoring. They have homework help. They have different activities for them and their families. And a lot of the students that TYM serves are homeless, or foster kids. And many kids have been from one home to another and just have had, more experiences than most adults have had. So we try to just lay out the red carpet for them and treat them really special.
That's beautiful. And how do you guys, 'cause I know that you said the parents are only paying $25 for this amazing camp. And the other portion of that is just through fundraising, or is it specific donors?
Yeah, it's through fundraisers and donors. We have a walkathon usually once a year, and they have different fundraising activities. They do have some donors who are very dedicated to making sure that TYM has what they need. And the same with Children Rising. Children Rising is mostly donors, individual donors. There's a few foundations, but some of those, like their givings term out. So we're always looking for, all the organizations are always looking for, people who can help.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we know, like what you just mentioned, the children are really going through a lot of things that, especially if you've been from house to house in the foster care system,
Yeah.
there's a lot of healing that needs to take place. So, within the camp, like what's been the most effective tool in helping a child heal from past experiences?
Well, that's really a great question because after our Bible study at night, all the cabins go back, all the kids go back to their individual cabins, and they lead a conversational group. Okay, so there's certain questions that they're asked, and they're in a safe place to talk about what they want to talk about. And we do the, whoever has the ball gets to talk, and we don't laugh. There's certain rules that we put down to make sure every child is respected and heard. And from those questions and from that Bible study, their hearts have been tenderized. And they are ready to pour out for anybody who will help, anybody who will listen. It is one of the most amazing tools that we have is that meeting at night. And it usually lasts about an hour. And when they finish, they can come out and they do one last activity before the night's over. But that meeting at night has allowed kids to really pour out their heart. And then other kids would say, "That happened to me too." And they might start crying and hugging each other. And they experience how to say, "You know what? I love you. I would never do anything to hurt you." And then, for somebody to hear that, somebody to say that, these little kids saying it to each other, it's just so empowering. And, there's so many reasons why, different reasons why kids get into trafficking and, being separated in some awful way. But I think this is a tool, the camp is a tool to help them be more aware of some of the things that can happen so when to run, when to have fun, and what's not fun. And some of the things that they've talked about, Jessica, I tell you, is when they thought they were going to have fun and then they got trapped in the other things. So those stories being able to be told freely and in a safe environment, it's just really powerful for the kids.
I'm sure they, it goes into like their how they trust adults and how they trust other people if you're it, when your trust is broken. So I imagine that when they are having fun, they're really experiencing something that was their expectation from the beginning, but someone let them down along the way.
It kind of reminds me of what is that? Oh, what's his name? He was running. Oh, come on. He was
Forrest
running and
Gump.
his leg braces start falling off of him.
Forrest
Oh,
Gump.
Forrest Gump.
yeah, Forrest Gump, yes. And it's like once they get in and then they come here with all this baggage and stuff all over them and preconceived ideas and hurt and this. And then day after day, things start shedding from them and they get lighter and lighter. They run faster. They laugh harder. They sing louder. They dance more. Oh, it just, you can just see every day something peeling off of them.
Love that.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's God's work that's up there. We're just vessels, but
No, he's
that's
doing a
God's
work
work.
in both organizations. I see it. And it's amazing that you guys are able to do this every year. Did anything change during COVID? I know that probably kind of maybe you guys met, but it was like a little bit different.
Well, at Children Rising, it changed. COVID changed because we had to move our math tutoring online,
Oh,
and we
okay.
had to, get the kids home information and make sure everybody had a computer at home and get them signed up and get them to show up, that kind of thing. So it was different. Then our tutors had to learn the online system. So, at the drop of a dime, it was like almost overnight that we had to, develop something. But for camp, we had camp online. It was a camp program that we used that gave us all the different breakout rooms. Like you can go and explore different things in different breakout rooms. And we still had our real talk in the real life talk in the mornings. And we had our Bible study in the evening. And we had our groups that would go into small breakout rooms and have their questions, And some of the questions would be some, what is your darkest day? What was your darkest day? Wow. And what's the thing that hurts you the longest, that has hurt you for the longest period of time? Not just like falling yesterday. What's been hurting you for the longest time? Wow. And then, so anyway, you asked about online. So we still ask the questions and we get in small groups, but it's not near as personal as like in Children Rise, that one-on-one tutoring, that one-on-one in the camp, in the cabin, You can't beat one-on-one looking at somebody's face, patting them on the back, giving the high five, looking them in their eye and saying, "I hear you, you know, and I understand where you're coming from."
Yeah, I love that. And it's beautiful that you guys get to do that. Do you guys have any last words you'd like to share, just either about Children Rising or the other organ today's Youth Matters?
My biggest love of what Children Rising is doing is the opportunity that it provides to me and to these other tutors to step out of their comfort zone and to develop this relationship with that child for the year, and you're walking with them. And as I said before, the relationship, I think, is the single biggest contributing factor to our program's effectiveness for the child and for the tutor, for the volunteer. It's giving them a chance to feel that love and to extend that love as well. And that's important. That's important because all of us want to feel and express the love God gave to us in our own way. And this is a way to do it in a humble, non-proselytizing way, just to be there and experience it.
Yeah. I mean, Eric put in a nutshell that the most powerful thing is the transformations that happen with kids and tutors, and then you put them together, and possibilities are endless. Because we already have some who said, "We're going to be an engineer, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a teacher." Just have a dream. Have a dream. I love that. And then you don't follow your dream, you work on it so it comes true, right? You just don't follow it. But I think that opportunity that exists for people to be in Children Rising, whether you're a tutor or administrator or a student, it has rewards that you could never. You couldn't learn it in school. You'd have to be there and experience it.
And that just I just do you have any last words of encouragement perhaps for someone who is interested in tutoring with children?
Yes. I think we both have a lot of words about that. So I'll let Eric be the closer because he's our communications manager. But I just want to say there's an opportunity for anyone who wants to make a difference and who cares about other kids' tomorrows. Like that's what this is. This is building their tomorrows. And it's a difference in a kid who has hope for tomorrow and a kid who doesn't know hope at all. So you could be that difference. And learning math and reading is the key to opening those locked boxes of hope. And if you have an hour or two a week, and some tutors come 2 hours for 2 days a week. But if you just have 1 hour or 2 hours a week, we have one of the most incredible opportunities for you to help us change the trajectory of kids' lives. 1 or 2 hours, you can change somebody's life.
I would just say, no matter where you are hearing this podcast, we're in the San Francisco Bay Area, specifically Oakland. Look, if you're being called to find ways to uplift your community, especially if you're working with children, find an opportunity. They're out there. Whether it's coaching, or tutoring, or reading to a child, children in a library, you will go in with a humble heart full of love, and you will find rewards. The children will be rewarded from your efforts, and you will find your own reward from it. You'll feel that love, and it's warm, and it's inspiring. It's inspiring to the tutor, and it's you see the benefit it has for the child, for the children.
Amazing. So yeah. I love that. Just and go ahead.
Yeah, like Nike said, just do it.
And just TYM also looks for volunteers to help at camp. And, you know, everybody has to be vetted and fingerprinted and all that. But get through that and then get to work. You know, there's plenty out here for people to do who have the heart and the time.
Yes, I love that. And so it's always important to remember the purpose, right? To be able to spread that love. So thank you so much, Margina and Eric, for being on with us today and for your amazing, amazing work. We'll be praying, everybody be praying for Children yes. Rising's impact, each student and their tutor. I'll be linking Children Rising's information in the bio for the, and also today's Youth Matters as well in the bio for the episode. And I want to thank you guys again. I'm so thankful for your time and your expertise today.
Thank you, Jessica, for having us. You've been a gracious hostess.
Thank you, Jessica.